Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be here. I am a wife, I am a mother of two, and I am a grandmother of five. And 27 years ago, God spoke to me sovereignly and told me to go to Myanmar. And as a result, I went within a few weeks to that nation. And later that year, he spoke again and told me to go to the four corners of the earth. And I've been doing that for 27 years. My husband did not travel with me for 10 of those years. He was in New Zealand and said, I won't go until God speaks. Finally, after 10 years, he spoke. And we left New Zealand by faith with $800 and a round-the-world ticket, and we went to America. And we have traveled the world ever since by faith, with very little support, trusting God, and God has miraculously provided everywhere we've gone. And it's just a miracle what he's doing, and I just want to bless you this morning, and it's wonderful to be here with you. You know, love has hands and feet. Love, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And what we do out there is love people. We just love people. We do conferences. We see God do amazing things. And in a moment, we're going to flick up a video. And I want you to watch with interest, because in the middle of that video, you'll see a child of 8 years of age who goes to heaven. And she literally goes to heaven, sitting on the platform, and she prophesies from heaven. And that's what's happening in our conferences out there today. Amazing things are happening. This little girl of 8 in Cuba, she speaks in Spanish. She's there with Jesus, and she sees the Lord, she sees the angels, and she tells the people that Jesus is weeping. There's another clip on that, in that same video, which shares about the fire of God. And the fire of God started falling in the nations 10 years ago. In meetings that we were in, and we were astounded. We just couldn't believe it as the place went wild, as all our comfortable religion went out the door, and God just poured out his presence. And the fire came, and people screamed and yelled and wept with the fire, because the fire cleanses us from the inside out. And these people were changed. And the final one in this video that's just awesome is a young woman in Nepal who goes to heaven, and she sees Jesus, and Jesus takes her to a garden with flowers. So we're going to show you it. That's great. Thank you so much. You want to click the lights out.
I'm with the paint. My dad is
God has moved sovereignly here today. Nepal. We do conferences across the Himalayan region. We work in difficult areas like Bhutan, Nepal, Vietnam, Myanmar, North India, South India. The Holy Spirit's here today. He's here to touch you and change you. How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? He's here. He's here. That boy didn't speak English, and he was speaking in English.
She went to heaven, and the Lord was there with her. The angels were all around her, and she was so touched by the Lord. And here she is prophesying for 15 to 20 minutes, as Jesus speaks to her and Jesus weeps as she calls the people to repent and worship. She is just so touched by the Lord in the most amazing way.
It was a sign and a wonder.
She's calling the people to repent again and again. She brings the word of the Lord that they are to repent and worship. And then she challenges them from Jesus. Why won't you repent? Why won't you repent and worship?
The church was astounded. They'd never had a child prophesy like this, or anybody go to heaven.
After the fire of God comes, it's an Isaiah experience where the cherubim come and the seraphim come and they just touch and bring transformation.
The glory of God can come here just like on this video. If you cry out to God, you can see Jesus, because Jesus is here right now. The angels are here right now. How hungry are you? These people are desperately hungry. They just want God.
The angels were there with her, and Jesus was just hugging her, and she was kissing him, and he took her to a beautiful garden where there were beautiful flowers everywhere, and he gave her the flowers, and it was just so awesome. Look at her hugging, and look at her, the tears are just pouring down her face, and Jesus just gave her such revelation and talked to her, and it was so amazing in the meeting. We were all just, it was a sign and a wonder. And afterwards, she gave away these flowers to all the ladies. They all lined up. And
you can cut it now. Thanks. Hallelujah. Yes, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Not just to love God, but to love people. And God wants to pour his love into each of our lives. And he wants to do amazing things as we are available to him. In Job 22:28, it says, "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And light shall shine upon your ways." You know, when we declare and decree something, it changes the atmosphere. And 10 years ago, we began declaring and decreeing that heaven is here. We began declaring and decreeing that Jesus is walking in the meeting. We began declaring and decreeing that angels were there and people began to see it. And it was absolutely incredible. The glory of God was just began to fall everywhere we went. Even in America, we've seen people go to heaven. We've seen the angels come in the meetings. And because our God is so amazing, because we can change the atmosphere. You can change the atmosphere over your life, over your situation, over your family, over your difficulties, over your job. Everything in your life, you can begin to declare and decree, and God will bring change. We have to start agreeing with the Word of God. I had a phone call last year. I was in America, and I had a call on Messenger, and it was from my spiritual son in Myanmar. I've loved this family for more than 15 years, and this young man has grown up, and now I work with him there in Mandalay. And he called me, and he said, "I was downtown," he said, "and people were shaking cans, collecting money, because there's been a terrible disaster here in Myanmar." And this was August, September of last year. 11 out of 14 states were totally destroyed. The fields were destroyed. The Christians who received no aid from the government were left homeless. There was just total devastation throughout that nation, and especially in Chin State, which is a Christian state. And he said, I was downtown and they were shaking cans and collecting money. And I came back here to my apartment and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. You've given me a wonderful family. You've given me a wonderful baby. You've given me the 15 children that we look after. You've given me a beautiful wife and you've prospered my business. And the Lord said to him, and what about all those people who've got no homes now, who've got no food, who've got nothing and have been left desperate? And we're going to click up a video because we went to Myanmar and we did aid. And he said, I know you don't do aid, but he said, we have to do something. And we believed God, and God gave us 15,000 in 4 days to give away in Myanmar. It was amazing. It's up there in the corner. Thanks. And the disaster was the worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Lord, you are the rain.
The rice fields will never recover. And these people depend on rice. The government was helping the Buddhists, but not helping the Christians at all. That church was just devastated. The water was up to nearly the ceiling for days. You know, we are his hands and his feet. We can't just go and do wonderful conferences and see the angels come and Jesus come and all that stuff. We actually got to pour out his love. We've got to do something about the hurting.
Hope for the orphan, strength for the weak.
These people, the whole village, they lost their whole village and they all came to Jesus.
I want to be born again.
They were all nominal Christians. And I said to them, do you want to be born again? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And they all came to Christ that day. I mean, the situation is terrible. I was back in February and there was a refugee camp, 500, in the capital, which was washed away and up in the north of Chin State. Now, I gave away little wee wrist tags that you buy in America and here, and the people thought it was like gold. I couldn't have given them anything that would have made them happy. It was amazing. We've got to be his hands and his feet. We've got to start to care for the hurting. We've got to pour out in love. That's what it's about. We have to be lovers of Jesus and lovers of people. Thank you. I was reading a book by Heidi Baker. I read this beautiful devotional every day, written by Heidi and Roland. And she said every week she goes out around the village. And she walked out to the outskirts of the village this day. And there was a woman who was weeping. She was sitting outside her shack. And Heidi said to her, what's wrong? What's the matter? What's the problem? And the woman said, every night the men come and rape me because there's no door on my house. Well, so Heidi fixed the door because we are his hands and his feet. Brothers and sisters, we have to do something. We can't just bring the glory of God. We can't just do conferences. We've actually got to care about people enough that we go, enough that we love. I went to Uganda. I mean, you guys are really into Uganda. But I went to Uganda because God manipulated me. I didn't want to go to Uganda, but I had two dreams. And in those two dreams, I was in Soroti, Uganda, in a Bible school. And I've been twice now. And the first time I went, I just was dismayed by the nightmare we were being invited to take part in. You know, there were nine Bible school students in central Uganda on 18 acres of land with no support. The building was unfinished and nothing growing on the land. And I came back from Uganda that year and I said, God, what has hit us? You know, do I really want to inherit this place? Because the woman who has been supporting it is now over 80 and can no longer do so, and her husband died. And so I said, my husband said to me, well, what's going to happen with Uganda? And I said, well, I didn't offer. I didn't offer to take it over. But we went back last year. And it was amazing, you know. We started projects on that land. We started a rabbit project that failed. And so I had to kickstart the rabbit project because we are his hands and his feet. We actually got to do more than just preach the word. We've got to bring the love of Jesus. So we solved the rabbit problem. And now they're producing. We started a chicken project, 100 baby chickens, you know, one day old. And within a week, 50 of those chickens died. So I groaned. And we had to buy 50 more. Well, now, praise God, because of advice and some of the new practices they're doing, we've now had 3 harvests from those chickens. And they've now got a contract to the local hotel because we must make people self-supporting. We cannot just go and do fancy things. We must go and love the people. And so last year I went back and it was a time of desperation in a way, despair, difficulty, deceit, lies, all those ugly things. And I did a conference and did stuff. And then one day they said to me, we have to go to the Bishop's Village. So off we went to the Bishop's Village. And I thought, goodness me, what are we going to do there? But on the way, we stopped at a school. And it was a secondary school, and they were doing their exam. So we walked in and the class stopped their exam and they said that I was going to just speak to them, just share who I was, etc. So I did that and then I said to them, how many of you go to church? And they all raised their hand. 180 young people. How many of you read the Bible? And they all raised their hand. How many of you pray? And they all raised their hand. And I said, how many of you have given your lives to Jesus Christ? How many of you have been born again? And that day I led 180 young people to Jesus Christ. We went from that school to another one. And this was a mixture of kids from very small to big. And there were over 1,000 children. They sang for me. It was beautiful. It was just a lovely time. And after they'd done their bit, I got up and shared. And again, I said to them, how many of you read the Bible? And they all raised their hand. How many of you go to church? How many of you pray? And they all raised their hand. And I said, how many of you have given your lives to Jesus Christ? Not one hand went up. And so I had the privilege that day of leading 1,000 young people in that school to Jesus Christ. And they said to me, you don't need to be in the churches. You don't need to be at conferences. You don't need to be at crusades. You just need to bring the students into the schools and lead all the kids to Jesus Christ. And it was that simple. You know, we just led them all to Jesus. And I realized that I wasn't in Uganda just for the Bible school, just to make them self-supporting, just to do all these things. I was there to bring those children to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we've got to listen to the voice of God. You see, I didn't want to go to Uganda. I didn't have any desire to go to Uganda. But it wasn't about what I wanted, wasn't about what I felt, wasn't about any of those things. In John 14:15, it says it clearly. If you love me, I will empower you to do what I say. He doesn't abandon us. He empowers us. Do you want to be empowered to do what he says? Well, love him. Love him and love people. because Jesus wants to pour his love into our lives and flow that love through each of us. It's a stunning thing. I used to take teams to these places, to Bhutan and Nepal and North India and Myanmar. And no, I've taken teams to Cuba too. But, you know, the last couple of years I've been traveling alone. Imagine I go to places where nobody else goes and I am traveling alone. And what's more, the last 2 years I've been traveling with a bung knee and but God. You see, it wasn't about how I felt, wasn't about going alone. All it was about was if I love Jesus, I'll do whatever he says. And last year, I was asked by a bishop in Myanmar to go to Chin State, to the backside of Chin State, 3 hours from the India border, and to help him with a conference for 3,000 people. And I said, no, I'm not coming. Absolutely not. I can't come. I'll have just been in Bhutan and Nepal and all across North India, and I'll have done 6 conferences and I don't need another conference. And I said, no. And so the year went by and he kept writing saying, please, sister, will you come? And I kept writing saying, no, I'm not coming. And then I went in September and he said to me, please, will you come? We're going to do the conference in the capital now, and there'll be 3,000 people, and you'll be able to preach. And I said, well, if it's in the capital, it's not that far from Bangkok, maybe I could come. And so I said, I'll see if I can change my flights. So I changed my flights, and yes, I wrote to him and said, okay, I'm coming. Everything's fine. Where is it? You know, I need some details. And he wrote back and said, it's up in Chin State, 3 hours from the India border. And I knew that he'd deliberately lied. I knew that he'd manipulated me. I knew all those things, but it wasn't about any of that. It was about, do you love me enough to allow me to empower you to do whatever I say? And so I ended up going. I had to travel 36 hours in a van, only stopping for the bathroom and to eat food. And at the other end, we started the conference. We're going to show you just a little clip of Myanmar. It's coming. Hallelujah. No, the other one. Near the India border. That's it. Awesome. Oh, the sound. What's happened to it? Gone. We're not going to see it. Okay, click back to menu. Hallelujah. God's wonderful, isn't he? Okay. We won't see that one. We'll see the next one, but we'll wait a minute for it, okay? Let me just tell you about that trip. I went to Myanmar, not because I wanted to on that trip. We travelled 36 hours in a van, and the reality was that when we got there, there were 3,000 people. And the amazing thing was that this was a Pentecostal conference without Pentecost. There was no power of God there. There was no presence of God there. They just did their program, and it was just obvious why God had taken me. And the Spirit of God came, and there were miracles, signs and wonders. And on the final day, it was totally amazing. I didn't know that the bishop every day had told the people that I'd prayed for healing in his church many times and people had been healed. And so they were to come on the final day for prayer. So they all came on the final day for prayer. We had 500 people, just me and the interpreter and no microphone. And it was wild. I mean, we were shouting, we were yelling, and the people were shouting, and it was totally crazy because we had no microphone. And God was just amazing. A crippled man walked. A man who was unable to speak for 3 years was totally healed and began to speak. And this power of God came, and the glory of God came, and there were just healing, tremendous healings. And it was really interesting because I said to them, receive Jesus by faith, receive healing by faith, because I couldn't pray for them all. That's what I thought, you know. That's what our mind often takes over. And I thought, I can't go and pray for all these hundreds of people. So I told them, touch your body and believe for healing. And they did that. And then I said, okay, you can all go to the main meeting now because you're all healed. Because they waved at me and said they were healed. And nobody moved. And they all wanted individual prayer. And I had to pray then individually for every one of those people. And it was just amazing. And God took me there to see his glory so that I would be poured out in love. And that's what it's about, brothers and sisters. We just hug people and God comes. Okay, we'll show you this one about the miracles because that other one won't play. Okay? Turn the sound up. There's the conference there. 3,000 people.
Miracles. So I just got the detail from her that when she was praying and she was taken to the heaven, and after being there, she was able to see Jesus with a very bright rays. So she started, you know, she got here actually, seeing him very bright. So she started weeping, and what the Lord said to her, do not worry, do not fear. I'm with you.
He has a heavenly experience. He pulls the hand grenade pin out and throws it at the devil.
He was involved in a war with the devil. And here he is riding a white horse in heaven.
A war horse. The glory of God came in that place. And it was a sign and a wonder what God did.
He saw angels and went to heaven.
He's looking for lovers. Jesus is looking for lovers. He's looking for you to pour out in love. He's looking for me to pour out in love. Are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever he tells you? Are you willing to go wherever he tells you? See, this young woman, she went to heaven, she saw Jesus, and she was given flowers in heaven. Just everywhere. You can cut it now, thanks. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, it's set, you can turn it off, thanks. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, it says that God made the man and the woman, that they were there in the garden, that he gave them the right to carry the glory. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Now, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Just as they were told to be fruitful in the natural, it doesn't take difficulty to be fruitful in the natural. Fruitfulness comes from intimacy. That's the bottom line. And when Adam and Eve were there together, they were given the right to have dominion. They were given the right to be fruitful, to carry the glory wherever they went. When you were born again of the Spirit of God, when you became a new creation, you were given the right, restored to your former position of the garden, where you could carry the glory, where you could take that glory, where you could walk in the glory and bring God's glory wherever you went. It's not for special people like the pastors and me. It's for all of us. All of us have been born again to carry the glory. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, it says clearly that we are to be fruitful and multiply. I want to ask you today, is it hard to have babies? It's not, is it? It's hard to stop having babies. That's the truth. And the reality is it hard to have babies when we're Christians, We are supposed to be multiplying. We are supposed to be being fruitful. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And fruitfulness comes from intimacy. All fruitfulness comes from intimacy. And brothers and sisters, it's about intimacy with Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus. It's about loving Jesus enough to do what he says. It's about loving Jesus enough to pour out for him. It's about loving him enough to reach the lost, to reach the hurting, to reach the lonely, to go to the hospital, to do whatever Jesus tells you. He's not going to drop a bolt of lightning in and say, do this now. You just have to be sensitive and go and do the things that open up before you. We have to be fruitful and multiply. Uganda was about fruitfulness. All those young people came to Jesus. These conferences are about equipping leaders, training them. I want to challenge you today. How many of you still need to go to nations? It says clearly we are to disciple nations in Genesis 1:26 to 28. It says we are to multiply. We are to fill the earth with people after our kind. We are to fill the earth with people like us, people who carry the glory, people who walk in the glory, people that do the works that Jesus did. I want to ask you today, are you doing the works that Jesus did? Are you reaching the lost? When did you last lead somebody to Jesus Christ? If every one of you reached somebody in the next week, this place would be, you'd have to open up a whole new area. Imagine. We have to face up to our responsibility as believers. We've got to stop just being normal, boring, weak-willed, jellyfish Christians. And we've got to rise up. We've got to rise up and recognize that Jesus died for us and that the love of God is in us so that we will be poured out for him. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for lovers. It's a crime that I'm going to nations alone. Where are the people who will go to Bhutan? Where are the people who will go to Nepal? Who will go to North India? Who will be involved in empowerment conferences? Where are the people who will come to Myanmar and see the people touched and changed? I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to just cry out to God and come into a new relationship with the Lord. Loving people involves action. We are Jesus' hands and his feet. You might be the only hands and feet that the people next to you ever see. You might be Jesus to them. When have you reached out to your neighbor, to your street, to your local community? This nation is lost without Christ. It needs Jesus. People out there in the nations are lost without Christ. I want to challenge you today. We took food to Myanmar. We took mosquito nets. We took tarpaulins. We took all the stuff to help these people who had nothing. Because love has hands. Love has feet. And we are to take his love wherever we go. You know, I used to pray for people, lay hands on them, and they all fell down, and they went home, and they'd had their fix. But now I just love them. Now I just pray for them, and I hug them, and Jesus comes. Now I just pray for them, and I even kiss them, and Jesus comes. And it's so beautiful, and their lives are changed, and wonderful things happen. And it's so much better, you know. Before God came, he touched them. And that was the season. But now it's a different season. So if you want prayer today, I would love to pray for you. If God's been touching you today, I would love to pray for you. If God's spoken to you today, the harvest is white. I read it this morning. And the laborers are few. I know that you are a mission-sending church. I know that you're doing stuff in the nations. And that's really wonderful. But I want to challenge you today. I've been going out there for 27 years, and the last 3-4 years, some of the time I'm going alone. Where are the men? Where are the women? Many years ago, God spoke to me and called me to come to America. And just last week, I was thinking about that because I assumed that was the United States. But last year, I came to Canada. This year, I came back to Canada. And I, on the way in to the country, I suddenly thought, Canada's America. And yet, I've never come to Canada to minister. And yet God clearly spoke 17 years ago, and my husband and I left New Zealand by faith to travel in the United States. So I want to challenge you today. It's about obedience, but it's about loving Jesus, because just boring obedience means nothing. It's about loving Jesus enough to do whatever he says. Do you love him enough to go wherever he tells you, to do whatever he says? Do you love him enough to answer a cry for help? You know, 3 months ago I had both knees replaced. So it's a miracle that I'm standing, walking and preaching, to be quite honest, because the reality is both knees were done the same day and it's only 3 months. And it's not about how you feel. It's not about the difficulties you have. It's not about the problems. It's just about loving him enough to follow and pour out for him. So if you want prayer today, I would love to pray for you. But, you know, we all have the same power. So I'm going to invite leaders to come, and you can pray as well. That would be really awesome. And if you want to come, you just come, because the Spirit of God's here. He's here to touch you today. He's here to change you today. He's here to release you, to empower you, to equip you, and to thrust you out as laborers into the harvest. Because the harvest is white and the laborers are few, especially in the realms where I go. Bless you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence tonight. I thank you that you're here. I thank you the angels are here. I thank you, Jesus, that you're here right now. You're here to touch us and change us. And Lord, I thank you for your word, that you've called us, you've stirred us, and you just want us to be lovers of you and lovers of people. Just burn that into our hearts so that we'll be changed. And we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.